Welcome to the Lion's Den.
That's what I'm talking about.
Episode 6. Okay. How's everybody today? Hopefully all two of you have listened to all of my episodes. I actually found some good news to read today. So that's good. I'm coming out of my cold now. So I can keep both of you listeners out there entertained. I'm kidding. There might be a third one, I don't know. I really don't know how many are out there. Anyway, first up we got Real Time.
Real Time. Real Time.
Our movie for today, Stalag 17. This is a movie, black and white, done in 1953. It is 2 hours long, 120 minutes, and not rated. Here's a description. During World War II, a group of GIs are thrown together in the notorious German prison camp Stalag 17. For the most part, they spend their time scheming ways to help each other escape. But when two prisoners are killed in an escape attempt, it becomes obvious that there is a spy among them. William Holden was awarded an Oscar for his performance as a cynical, sharp-tongued soldier who spends his time scheming up rackets and trading with the Germans for special privileges. Yeah, this is an awesome movie. I like it. I've watched it tons of times. It's starring William Holden, Don Taylor, Otto Preminger, and Preminger, whatever. And a bunch of other good actors like, Graves. What's his name? Peter Graves. Yeah. He's really good. Anyway, check that out at Stalag 17. Well worth watching. So yeah, like I said, I'm coming out of this cold. That's good. My dad just got sick. And a bunch of guys at his work did. So apparently there's something going around. Whole sickness thing going on here. Today, we don't have any music. I've already played the two songs that I got, and I haven't got any Podsafe music yet. So yeah, we won't have that segment, but I do have lots of news, and that's good. And I got a lengthy poem. Well, it's not really lengthy, it's just longer than the ones I've been reading, so Poetry Corner is a few seconds longer. Yeah, and Skyscraper will probably be a bit longer, so we'll go ahead and get started with these now. First up, we got Poetry Corner. Today's poem, by Robert Desnos, from 1900 to 1945. This is one called, I've Dreamed of You So Much. I've dreamed of you so much, you're losing your reality. But there's still time to reach that living body and kiss onto that mouth, the birth of the voice so dear to me. I've dreamed of you so much that my arms, accustomed to being crossed on my breast while hugging your shadow, would perhaps not bend to the shape of your body. And faced with the real appearance of what has haunted and ruled me for days and years, I would probably become a shadow. Oh, sentimental balances. I've dreamed of you so much it's no longer right for me to awaken. I sleep standing up, my body exposed to all signs of life and love and you, the only one who matters to me now. I'd be less able to touch your face and your lips than the face and the lips of the first woman who came along. I've dreamed of you so much, walked so much, spoken and lain with your phantom that perhaps nothing more is left me than to be a phantom among phantoms, and 100 times more shadow than the shadow that walks and will joyfully walk on the sundial of your life.
The Poetry Corner.
Okay, What's up next? Oh. What's this? Word of the day. All right, I can do this. Today's word? Divination. D-I-V-I-N-A-T-I-O-N. Divination. It's a noun. It means the art of predicting the future. Which is bull, but yeah, divination. Oh, goody. Time for the 3-minute update, which usually lasts 6 minutes. Okay, today's first headline comes to us from the Associated Press. Crazy cat terrorizes Connecticut town. Fairfield, Connecticut. Residents of the neighborhood of Sunset Circle say they have been terrorized by a crazy cat named Lewis. Lewis, for his part, has been uniquely cited, personally issued a restraining order by the town's animal control officer. Quote, "He looks like Felix the cat and has 6 toes on each foot, each with a long claw," Janet Kettman, a neighbor, said Monday. Quote, "They are formidable weapons," end quote. The neighbors said those weapons, along with cat-like stealth, have allowed Lewis to attack at least a half dozen people and ambush the Avon lady as she was getting out of her car. Some of those who were bitten and scratched ended up seeking treatment at area hospitals. Animal control officer Rachel Sovera placed a restraining order on him. It was the first time such an action was taken against a cat in Fairfield. In effect, Lewis is under house arrest, forbidden to leave his home. Solvera also arrested the cat's owner, Ruth Cicero, charging her with failing to comply with the restraining order and reckless endangerment. Now, I find that hilarious. In fact, when I first read it, I laughed. It's pretty funny. So there's like this demon cat that's tormenting this little town. Actually makes it into the news. That's funny. Just get a BB gun. That's how I would deal with it. Next one, also from the Associated Press. World Views Total Solar Eclipse. This is in Accra, Ghana. School children clapped and cheered as the first total eclipse in years plunged Ghana into daytime darkness Wednesday, a solar show sweeping northeast from Brazil to Mongolia. Yeah, Magnolia. During the rare heavenly alignment, all that could be seen of the sun were the rays of its cornea, the usually invisible extended atmosphere that glowed a dull yellow for about 3 minutes, barely illuminating the West African nation. Automatic streetlights flickered on, authorities sounded whistles, and schoolchildren burst into applause across Ghana's capital, Accra. Many in the deeply religious country of Christians and Muslims said it bolstered their faith. Quote, "I believe it's a wonderful work of God, despite all what the scientists say," said Solomon Pomenya, a 52-year-old doctor. Quote, "This tells me that God is a true engineer," end quote. The last such eclipse in November 2003 was best viewed from Antarctica, said Alex Young, a NASA scientist involved in solar research. Quote, "Imagine if your hair was to stand up from static electricity. That's kind of what the cornea, man, you know, I said cornea earlier. Let me read that. It's not cornea, it's corona. Man, am I an idiot. Okay, that's kind of what the corona looks like all around the sun," Young said. "But directly looking at the sun can damage the eyes without proper protection. About 12,000 tourists from 40 countries and 20,000 Libyans trekked out to 3 viewing spots in Libya, one on the border with Egypt and 2 deep in the desert," Libya's tourism ministry said. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, his wife, and several ministers joined 8,000 tourists and astronomers from 6 countries in Saloum, Egypt. The town lay nearly dead center in the path of the total eclipse, giving spectators nearly 4 minutes of darkness starting at 12:38 p.m. In Iraq, Sunni and Shiite Muslims were summoned to their mosques during the partial eclipse for a special prayer reserved for times of fear and natural disasters. Dozens shut down shops and left offices to gather in mosques, particularly in the southern city of Basra, home to many devout Muslims. Even in Baghdad, which has been racked by violence in recent days, people congregated to look at the sky. Inside mosques, they shouted, "God is great!" Which one? A total eclipse could be seen in Nalchik, Russia, about 870 miles south of Moscow. People on the streets screamed, some with fear and some in wonder, and they were joined by the cawing of crows when the city fell into darkness and temperatures plunged suddenly. Oh boy. Screamed. People on the streets screamed. Come on. This happens regularly. In Turkey's Mediterranean town of Side, hundreds streamed down a main street, some carrying tripods to an ancient Greek temple dedicated to Apollo. It was, quote, spiritual and emotional, end quote, said Brian Faltinson of Victoria, Canada, who was in Turkey to witness his second eclipse. It just about made me cry. Joaquim Bois traveled to Turkey from Barcelona, Spain, saying he became addicted to eclipses after seeing one in Germany. It's fantastic, Bois said. Quote, it's the color, the metallic blue-green color on the skin of the people, the sky with the stars in the background. Usually you watch the stars in a black background. The background is blue. It's a special feeling, end quote. And astronomers and scientists from NASA and the San Francisco-based Explatorium Science Museum gathered inside. Quote, it's one of those experiences that make you feel like you're part of a larger universe, said NASA astronomer Janet Lumen. NASA said the best spot to view the eclipse was along the Turkish Mediterranean coast, and Turks welcomed the many tourists after a recent bird flu outbreak and protests over the caricatures of Islam's Prophet Muhammad. Quote, it should happen more often, end quote, said Hamza Bikmaz, who was selling eclipse t-shirts outside the theater. Well, no wonder he wants it to happen more often. West African governments scrambled to educate people about the dangers of looking at the eclipse without proper eye protection. Authorities imported hundreds of thousands of pairs of special glasses that sold rapidly in Togo's capital, Lome. But villagers in the interior did not have access to the eyewear, and officials urged them to stay home. Superstition accompanied the path of the eclipse, as it has for centuries. One Indian newspaper advised pregnant women not to go outside during the eclipse to avoid having a baby who is blind or having a cleft lip. That's rich. Food cooked before the eclipse should be thrown out because it will be impure, and those holding a knife or axe during the event will cut themselves. The Hindustan Times added. Oh no. In Turkey's Tokat province, wary residents set up tents outside despite assurances from scientists that there was no evidence of a link between earthquakes and eclipses. In August 1999, an earthquake in northwestern Turkey killed some 17,000 people just 6 days after a solar eclipse. Total eclipses are rare because they require the tilted orbits of the sun, moon, and earth to line up exactly so that the moon obscures the sun completely. The next total eclipse will occur in 2008. Okay, there, you know, we've been warned. So we don't have to go running around in streets screaming. 2008. Eww. Next up. This comes to us from Reuters. Next, he should try finding the Great Wall, is the title of this one. In Canberra, that's Australia, a drunk driver just 100 yards from Australia's iconic giant monolith, once known as Ayers Rock, stopped police to ask the way to the 1,100-foot-high rock. The headlights of the man's car were actually shining on Uluru, which has a 5.8-mile circumference, Northern Territory police said. The 44-year-old man, whose car was also towing an aluminum boat, has been charged with drunk driving and unlicensed driving. Okay, so you've all seen pictures of that enormous red rock in Australia. This guy is parked 100 yards from it with his headlights pointing at it, and he asks police where it's at. That's pretty funny. Pretty funny. Oh, yeah. And our last one here comes to us from the Associated Press. Wrigley looks to science for gum benefits. Chicago, of course. That's where Wrigley's from. Here's a juicy thought to chomp on. What if the simple act of chewing gum helped you keep your weight down, reduce stress, improve focus, or all three? Sure, a cynic might reply, just as eating pizza raises your IQ and chocolate chip cookies make you skinny. W.M. Wrigley Jr. Company, though, is so hopeful of the possibilities that it is launching a multi-million-dollar, multi-year effort to prove them. Citing, quote, emerging research, quote, end quote, that suggests chewing may be beneficial. The gum maker has created the Wrigley Science Institute, consisting of an international advisory panel of scientists and research experts who are studying the sticky matter. Surinder Kumar, Wrigley's chief innovation officer, says the 115-year-old company has been hearing from consumers for decades about chewing benefits. Some of them, he contends, quote, just plain common sense, end quote. Now it's looking for scientific proof to back up the anecdotal evidence. The company hopes the results, which won't be known for another year or so, will give people a whole new reason to chew gum. Any gum. Although, as the world's number one gum purveyor, and with 63% of the U.S. market, Wrigley clearly would reap the biggest revenue rewards. Wrigley is so confident of a favorable outcome that it is going public with the effort and already has compiled the earlier preliminary research in a glossy 48-page booklet with the upbeat title, The Benefits of Chewing. The Chicago-based company emphasizes that the scientists remain independent and their work, which is being carried out at laboratories elsewhere and not at Wrigley's new research center, is to be published in peer review journals. Quote, we do have very strong reason to believe that chewing has significant benefits that will bear out, Kumar said in an interview. Quote, we don't know which ones will bear out, but there are some benefits that will bear out for sure. End quote. Current studies are looking into three areas of potential benefits, the company says. One is stress management. What's behind the common practice of chewing gum to relieve tension? Wrigley cites research showing that it stimulates certain areas of the brain but wants to go further. Quote, consumers tell us they can use it for that, and yet we don't understand how that comes about, Kumar said. Second area of potential benefit is weight management. As a 5 to 10 calorie substitute for a high calorie snack, gum could obviously reduce caloric intake. But does it help suppress appetite? Quote, it's not that chewing gum has any particular magic, but it can be useful, a useful behavior modification pill. A useful behavior modification pill, end quote, said Gilbert Laville, executive director of the Wrigley Science Institute, which held its inaugural meeting in Chicago in December. And the third point, cognition and focus. Is gum chewing a way to increase focus, concentration, and alertness? Wrigley points to studies that show that it increases blood flow to the brain, but would like to see it linked definitely to higher concentration levels. Quote, people chew gum primarily because it's a pleasurable experience to deliver mouth freshening. End quote. And for oral health care benefits, said Laville. Okay, well, that end quote shouldn't have been there. Okay. Quote, while half the population of the country chews gum, we're just now learning what the real effects are from a physiological and psychological perspective. End quote. Wrigley has been praised for increased marketing innovation under fourth-generation family leader Bill Wrigley Jr., who has focused more heavily on marketing and new products than his predecessors. Its breath-freshening Eclipse and sugarless Orbit gums, introduced in the U.S. market in 1999 and 2001, have become top sellers, added to old standbys such as Spearmint, Double Mint, and Juicy Fruit. Gums it classifies as oral care related now account related. What? Gums it classifies as oral care related now account for 40% of its $3.6 billion in worldwide sales. 40% of its $3.6 billion. But with consumers bombarded by companies' claims of health benefits in their products, food analyst Bob Golden wonders if the gum maker isn't overdoing it this time. Increasingly, he says the public sees such efforts as self-serving. Quote, they've done a masterful job of taking gum to some new plateaus with respect to imaging and the benefits of gum themselves, with high-intensity gums used for breath freshening and with sugar-free good for tooth decay, end quote, said Golden of Food Consultancy Technomic Incorporated. Quote, but given who's sponsoring it, I think it may not be perceived as very objective, very impactful, end quote. One new product that Wrigley touted for its benefits already has failed with consumers surpass an antacid gum, which the company killed in 2003 after 2 years of weak sales. Kelly McGrail, senior director of corporate relations, says the new science initiative is not about marketing, at least not yet, but rather about exploring potential benefits. Quote, we're doing this to learn more about our business and the products that we sell, as well as a brand new science, she said. But clearly, at the end of the day, it has to deliver value, end quote. McGrail acknowledged, quote, if you can get people to think about chewing gum in a new way, it's good for the category, and we're the category leader. Yeah. Well, there you go. I thought those were all pretty good news articles there. So that wraps up our 3-minute update, which probably went for 10 minutes today, I don't know. Quick quotes and fast facts. Today's quick quote comes from Simone Weil. I don't know. Quote, I can, therefore I am. End quote. Today's fast facts. These are the last words of men about to be executed. George Apple, 1928. As Apple was being strapped into the electric chair, he said to the witnesses, well, folks, you'll soon see a baked apple. Thomas Grasso, in 1995, before he was given his lethal injection, he complained, I did not get my SpaghettiOs, I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this. Sir Walter Raleigh, in 1618, quote, so the heart be right, it is no matter which way the head lieth. And then he was beheaded. James French, 1966, on his way to the chair, he said to a newspaper reporter, I have a terrific headline for you in the morning. French fries. Francis Crowley, 1931. Quote, you sons of so-and-sos, give my love to mother. Then he was electrocuted. And Neville Heath, 1946, just before being hanged, his last request was for a whiskey, quote, in the circumstances, he added, you might make that a double. Johnny Frank Garrett, in 1992, before being lethally injected, he said, I'd like to thank my family for loving me and taking care of me, and the rest of the world can kiss my butt. Erskine Childers, 1922, he called out to the firing squad, take a step forward, lads, it'll be easier that way. Robert Drew, 1994, before being given his lethal injection, he said, remember, the death penalty is murder. Frederick Wood, 1963, when Wood was in the electric chair, he said to the assembled company, gentlemen, you are about to see the effects of electricity upon Wood. Ned Kelly, in 1880, the notorious Australian bushwhacker's last words as he stood on the scaffold awaiting his hanging were, ah, well, I suppose it has to come to this, such is life. Jimmy Glass, 1987, said, I'd rather be fishing than he was electrocuted. Gerald Chapman, 1926, just before he was hanged, he said, "Death itself isn't dreadful, but hanging seems an awkward way of entering the adventure." Gary Gilmore, 1977, having campaigned for the right to die, he just said, "Let's do it," and the firing squad duly did. Robert Alton Harris, 1992, before being gassed, he said, "You can be a king or a street sweeper, but everyone dances with the Grim Reaper." And our last one, Dr. William Palmer, 1856, the British serial killer, stood on the gallows and asked the officials, "Are you sure this thing is safe?" It's time for Skyscraper. We last left off yesterday, where Johnny Manton went into a warehouse looking for the fat man and bent down to check out a can. When he stood up, some guy had a pistol to the back of his head and was making him walk to where the fat man is. The fat man wants to see him, so this is where we pick up. I could still feel the pistol against my head. He moved it down to the back of my neck, and I didn't like the feel of it. We reached a dark spot in the warehouse, and that was when I made my move. I acted like I had tripped, and I fell forward. I rolled to the side quickly and jumped back up. I was behind him now. He was still walking forward, trying to find me when I jumped him. I managed to get the gun loose from his hands, and I threw a right to his jaw. It connected well, so I gave him another. He was hunched over and stumbling by this time, and I could now feel the pain that filled my fist. I felt around in the dark and finally picked the pistol up and drove it across the back of his head as hard as I could. It was hard enough. I was hurting by this time, but I didn't pay much attention to the pain. Room where the fat man and his goons were discussing their plans to do away with Marty Brodsky, the city sheriff. I had two guns now, both 45s. I took them out of my coat and then kicked the door open. Everyone jumped up but didn't pull a heater. I was surprised. "Mr. Manton, what a pleasant surprise. Won't you have a seat?" the fat man said. I didn't sit. "What was the purpose of the dame, Fats?" I asked. "It was a decoy, wasn't it? To get me out of your hair while you did some poor slob in. You're smart, Manton, but you're the one who fell for her." "Did I? Then why am I here instead of with her?" He looked angry. "What's the reason for knocking off a person?" I asked. "'Cause maybe I don't like a guy, so maybe I have him done in. Yeah, and maybe a guy like me finds out about it and shares the story with the feds. And maybe I have you done in, too." He looked at his goons and then back at me. "Well, it's your move, Manton." "Suppose I tell you that the cops are on their way here now." The boy started getting nervous and fidgety. "Don't worry," said the fat man. "He's bluffing." "Am I? Take a look out that window." They all got up and ran to the window. That's when I ran out the door. "After him," yelled the fat man. I could hear the tough's footsteps behind me. I didn't stop running. I made it to the front door and ran out into my car. I started backing out, and I could see the others starting their cars and following. We drove for a good while before I finally outran them. I pulled down an alleyway and parked with my lights off. A light in an apartment next to me turned on. I could hear a dog barking in the distance and a cat climbing out of a garage can in front of me. It ran off into the dark. I slid down into my seat and laid motionless. Whoever it was wouldn't be very happy at me waking them up. I saw their door open and the head of a woman peeked out. She was pleasant to the eye. "Who is it?" she asked in a weak, sleepy voice. I slid back up in my seat, rolled the passenger window down, and answered, "Johnny Manton. Sorry to disturb you. It's just I was kind of being chased by some people of an unpleasant nature, and I needed a place to hide." "Oh, well, you can hide in here if you want." She was more awake now, and her voice was clearing. I got out and walked over to her. She didn't move out of the doorway. I reached her, and she just looked at me, studying me for a while. "You're cute. What are you, a PI?" "You're cute yourself, and yeah, I am. Come in." It was a cozy little place, big enough for one person. I assumed she was the only one there. I made sure. "You have a man?" "No." She fixed me a cup of coffee and we talked. Not about anything interesting, just talked. She was more cute. She was more than cute. She was a doll. Curly blonde hair, big curls, nice figure, like a Coke bottle. She had fair skin, smooth. She was wearing some kind of lacy lingerie underneath a peach-colored silk robe that went all the way down to her thigh. Yeah, it was that short. The evening was off to a great start, all right. Sign for the grub worm. I'm going to finish up what I was reading yesterday, or at least part of it. We were reading about the fertilization of lawns. And so we'll pick up from there. We're at fertilizer programs. University research has shown that fall, August or September, and late fall, October, November, or December, fertilization is ideal for home lawns. Fertilization during these times will benefit lawns more than any other practice. Most homeowners place too much emphasis on spring and summer fertilization. Some fertilizer is needed during the spring and summer, however, over-application of fertilizer at these times can cause disease and other problems and result in summer lawn nightmares. Advantages of fall or late fall fertilization. Disease and weed problems are usually less severe when fall and late fall fertilization are practiced. Heat and drought tolerance are usually better, thus enhancing summer lawn quality. Finally, the grass plant produces more root mass and a deeper root system, resulting in an overall healthier plant. Fertilization schedule. Lawns need to be fertilized periodically, several times throughout the growing season. Fertilizations, or feeding, should be made at 8 to 10 week intervals throughout the growing season. A general fertilization schedule for homeowners interested in a moderate to high quality lawn is provided below, and we'll continue that next day. That concludes today's program. I'm getting through it. Hope you guys learned some more new things today. Okay, so, yeah, I think I might keep this up until I finish the Johnny Manton story, and then we'll see if I continue my Lion's Den. I don't know. I don't know how it's going. Anyway, be sure to email me at pooroldlou17@yahoo.com. That's POOROLD_OLD_LU17@yahoo.com. For any questions, comments, requests, ideas for the show. Yeah. And I will see you guys in 2 days.
You've just been at the Lion's Den. Thanks for listening. Come here next week. Ow. You know, that really hurts.